I wish it was Bob. I know that would have been like a deep cut, but
yeah. Did Bob lose his job? Was Bob run out of town? Bob.
He's probably the head of the network at this point, honestly.
My new fan fiction is coming soon. What about Bob is what it will be called.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson.
Continues to
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 403, Two Gentlemen of Cape Side, which originally aired on October 18th, 2000.
And we have a special guest, and we are very excited. Our first guest.
First episode guest, Miss Caroline Moss of G Thanks Just Bought It.
Wait, I didn't know I was the first.
Well, we've done interviews with other people, but we haven't done like a ride along.
No randoms. Okay, amazing.
It's our first ride along.
I'm your first random. I'm really excited.
We are excited.
We're thrilled to have you. And for those of you who don't know, Caroline created G Thanks, which is a podcast, a flagship store, a Substack, an amazing Instagram and Facebook community. It's everything. But also, most importantly, she's a huge Dawson's fan, just like us.
Big time.
She's one of us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm literally thrilled.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your Dawson's journey, where you were, what you remember? Were you there from the beginning?
Yeah, that's actually such a great question because I wasn't there from the beginning. I was not allowed to watch TV growing up, and I was definitely not going to watch Dawson's Creek. But I know that Dawson's Creek was on Wednesday nights. That's what I remember because I wasn't watching it. And I was like hyper aware of the fact that I was not watching it. But I was allowed to start watching television more senior year of high school after I'd already gotten into college. And, you know, we were just throwing all caution to the wind.
Sure.
And my parents were like, sure, you can watch a little TV if you want. So I jumped in for, I think, season 6. So like I jumped in right at the end. So I had like taped a few episodes. I had friends who were like hardcore Creek heads. And I sort of learned a lot by osmosis. So by the time season 6 happened, I like knew a lot of the lore, but like hadn't experienced it firsthand. Like I remember people talking about Joey and Pacey like kissing on the side of the road, like and being like and like wanting to be in the conversation. But I remember for the season finale, my friends and I had a still my friends to this day had a cake made that said, rest in peace, Dawson / Pacey / Joey / Jen. Because remember, they didn't tell us. Like we knew someone / Grams, but we kind of didn't think it was going to be Grams.
Sure. Too obvious.
But I have these pictures in a scrapbook somewhere of like all of my friends, like literally just sobbing, holding this cake. And after it started coming, like they released them on DVD pre-streaming. When they released all the seasons on DVD, I purchased all of them. And that's when it really began for me. So I like had the DVDs for a long time. And then once I got all the streaming services, I would do like comfort rewatches.
Oh, yeah.
So I've seen every episode a bazillion times, but never originally watched except for season 6 on television.
What's your like ship? Are you your team Pacey or team?
I'm team Pacey. I'm team Pacey from the get. Dawson always annoyed me.
Oh, same.
Wait, where are you? Where do you guys fall? Are you Pacey people?
Go ahead, Micah.
So.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Christine and I met in LA. We'd first moved to LA. We had mutual friends and she had all the DVDs on their bookshelves. And then she was just like hardcore Pacey and I was hardcore Dawson.
Okay.
This is in 2008 when we first met. And so we used to get into these debates and talk about it. Because in my head, like I was Dawson. I was like a film geek. I knew I wanted to write.
Okay.
You know, I projected a lot of me onto him and him onto me. And
I don't think it's bad to be team Dawson. I just like wanted a boy to buy a wall for me and write like stay on it. That was all I wanted in life. Still all I want.
And for someone to be like, I'll be here, whatever you need, you take your time, and not like, you have to choose me, Joe.
Right. This emotionally intelligent 15-year-old.
That's all anybody's ever wanted.
And, you know, I didn't really start dating until I was like 30, which is a whole other weird story. But during this rewatch, I asked my partner, I was like, if I wanted to leave, would you ask me to stay?
And?
And he was like, yeah, I would. And I was like, would you buy buy me a wall?
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know where this is. So, I was like, well, then I'm leaving.
So get your wall ready because I'm walking out this door.
Now, who's your favorite character?
I'm a Jen girl for sure. I kind of found Joey to be like a like the whole time. Like, but I think Joey was like relatable. They built Joey to be this like really kind of like flaw, like even her flaws were like, I don't even know that you're so pretty. But I really like Jen. I thought Jen was like a little hardened. She had so much depth. And like, I think now as an adult looking at like character development in this show, Jen has like this amazing arc and like, it's not linear. Like she has so much dimension to her. Whereas Joey is like, just sort of like a, and every show kind of needs one. But I think Joey couldn't be half as charming without the dimension and the depth of Jen. And so I'm a Jen girl forever.
I'm with you there.
We love Jen.
It was like we were always being told that Joey was amazing, and she was. But like we were really just being
told
it more than being shown it.
Like when I'm like a theater kid, so like when she sang On My Own, I was like,
oh my God, we just talked like that.
I don't like it and I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, like honestly, favorite like non-core character is probably like Audrey.
For those who are watching for the first time, Audrey hops on season 5. She's Joey's college roommate and she's a hoot. Now, let me ask you, when you think of your favorite episode, like what are some that pop out?
Honestly, Two Gentlemen of Capeside. It's so weird, but it is. I love the hurricane in season 1. Ugh. Actually, like that's a theme. Like I like all the like rainy, stormy ones. I think they're cozy. I love Escape to Witch Island. I will watch Escape to Witch Island all day long. And I
that's hilarious.
And probably the episode that I've seen more times than any is probably one of everyone's least favorite or least watched episode, which is 4 Scary Stories.
Okay, that's season 5, right? Or 6?
It's season 5. Dawson's not in it. Jen's not in it. It's Pacey, Joey and Jack and Grams. Mm-hmm. And they're just retelling really scary shit that's happened to them that has never come up on the show. And never does again. And I love it. I like a dark, stormy Halloween episode. Like those, my 4 favorite episodes are either weather event or like ghost. So I think that actually is quite on theme, but those are my favorites.
We love the hurricane in season 1. Ugh. Like love. Gail in the car, Mitch screaming. I mean, another thing I've learned by rewatching at this age. Like, I'm so into Mitch and Gail. I mean, yeah. I always was. I was always into the adults and the parents on teen shows.
No, but now you know about adult dynamics.
Yeah.
And I'm their age.
Right.
So it's weird.
Oh, I don't like thinking that. I'm like, yeah wait, no.
Wait a minute.
Wait a second. No. Also, Grams's growth.
Amazing.
From the hurricane.
Amazing. The hurricane, she's racist. She's full racist.
She's sexist. She's like Bible beaten. I also love the episode. Not one of my favorites, but I do love when Mr. Fricky comes to stay at the
weekend in the country. Oh.
The weekend in the country.
The best.
Yeah, it is really good. They're all good. There's no better show. This show is so strong.
I just love that your recall for that episode is Mr. Fricky.
Yeah.
You know that classic moment where Mr. Fricky goes.
You guys know about Mr. Fricky. But that's the thing. For someone that did not watch the show, OG, I bought the DVDs and it was like, it was almost better for me. I didn't have to wait week after week. I just like, that was my first experience binge watching anything, I think, was when I bought the Dawson's Creek DVDs.
And then you'd have to switch discs and you'd be like, oh, damn it.
Yeah. And I'd be
like, I want to get up.
Rubbing it on my feet. Exactly.
So then what about like favorite season, would you say?
It's a great question. I know season 3 is like classic. Season 3 is funny because it like starts so off the rails and then they have to like rein it in. Didn't they switch writers or like something happened season 3? Season 4 is probably my least favorite. I really like season 1 and season 5. The show starts off really strong. It's weird. You can see the dream of everybody behind the show and you can see how many times someone in some pitch room was like, well, what the fuck? Like, no, like none of this. What's this vocabulary? Why are they all talking like that? But season 1 soldiers on. And season 5, I just like when they go to college. I like when they grow up a little bit. I think I feel that way now because I think I rewatched seasons 2, 3, and 4 because they were so classic. so much that it's kind of like worn on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, sometimes there's stuff that you're like, I could watch this a million times. And then there's stuff that you're like, I can't watch this a million times. And I feel that way about seasons 2 through 4, weirdly, but never about 1, 5, or 6. Just me things.
I love season 5 just because they went to college and
they did it so well.
And after 4 seasons, you really wanted like a new set. You know, it was a much needed refresh. I'll be honest, seasons 5 and 6 are a real blank space up here. I remember, I have flashes of things. I know the storylines. I know the characters, but could I really pinpoint episodes? The beginning of season 5, yes.
Okay.
Because that's, I went to college with them. Like, and when I first went to college, I didn't really know people. I would rewatch the beginning of season 5 over and over and over. But then when I started meeting people and I started going to parties and stuff, like season 5 really trails off in my head.
See, and I had the experience of just like season 5 is what you watch after you're done with season 4. You have the DVDs. Like there is no waiting. I had no life going on during this time. I probably like plowed through all 6 seasons for the first time in like 3 weeks. But season 5 is pivotal. There's deaths. Pivotal. There's births. There's
chefs. Pacey becomes a chef.
There's deaths and there's chefs. That's right.
Well, I'm so happy you're here and I love all of that. And you love this episode.
I love this episode.
It is a great episode. So what are we drinking today?
The Dawson's drink this week is the Perfect Storm. It is spiced rum, lime juice, Angostura bitters, and ginger beer. And it aligns with the drink from the hurricane, which was almost exactly the same.
I didn't even realize that those were my 2 favorite episodes until today. So I'm learning something about myself.
I always loved a storm on a, the daytime soaps, like all my children did like a tornado, like during sweeps. And I just I live for a storm.
It's cozy stuff.
Love being under a blanket. Do you want to tell us what the episode's about?
So episode 403, Two Gentlemen of Capeside, opens with Joey, Dawson, and Drew in English class, where they're discussing the play Two Gentlemen of Verona, a Shakespeare play about two best friends who have a falling out over a woman. Dawson and Joey are passionately debating the piece in front of the entire class, each infusing their argument with their own personal experience. Of course, sensing an opportunity to stir the pot, Drew suggests that Dawson and Joey do extra credit in front of the whole class in the form of a debate so they can explore this topic even further. The teacher finds the idea intriguing and thinks they should do it. And much to Drew's dismay, the teacher suggests that Drew join them for an objective third point of view. So Dawson and Joey immediately acknowledge the awkwardness of the situation. Dawson prefers to avoid the tension and just get straight to the project and talk solely about that. Meanwhile, Pacey walks up and Dawson heels it out of there. Pacey's happy because he got an A on a paper, and to celebrate, he asks Joey out on the true love tonight. But she declines. She has to do some work with Dawson at the yacht club. But Jen, however, has walked up and jumps at the opportunity. As it turns out, Rams has given Jen another day or two to mope around before she puts a moratorium on her melancholy over Henry. Rams thinks that teenage breakups happen all the time, and she refuses to let Jen split with Henry, sabotage her senior year. Maybe sailing will be the thing to jumpstart her happiness and pull her out of her funk. So Joey, Dawson, and Drew meet at Drew's mom's yacht club to do their assignment, and as we know, Joey now works there. She mentions that it's usually dead on nights like this except for an older man who comes in like clockwork and orders the same thing. And then we meet him, Mr. Brooks, who warns Joey that a storm is rolling in and he needs to eat and get home before it gets any worse. This immediately unsettles Joey, knowing that Pacey is out on the water with Jen. So she asks Drew to let her know if there are any updates on the TV, but he's too busy flirting with the girl on the phone to notice the severe weather warnings. Meanwhile, Dawson and Joey grow tired of discussing their issues in the subtext of the Shakespeare play. Dawson decides to just talk about Pacey and get it out of the way. He admits that he will never forgive Pacey because in his eyes, Pacey, unlike Joey, showed no remorse and took no accountability for what happened last year. Elsewhere, Andy is thrilled for her first college interview, which happens to be with Drew's mother, Mrs. Valentine, at the yacht club. Andy's just started taking a new anti-anxiety medicine called Nardol, and it's really working better than anything else she's ever taken, although it does make her feel a little bit lightheaded. The interview goes well until Mrs. Valentine notices that Andy took a leave of absence at the end of her sophomore year. Andy openly discusses her mental health struggles, explaining how she overcame them and turned them into a strength. However, Mrs. Valentine is fixated on the topic, barely disguising her bias and judgment. Ultimately, she shocks Andy when she tells her that Andy should consider a less competitive school. As the storm worsens, Pacey and Jen's radio gets wet and shorts out, leaving them stranded on the boat with no way to communicate. Back at the yacht club, where everyone except Jen and Pacey are now gathered, Joey grows increasingly increasingly distracted and worried, focusing less and less on their project. Dawson, frustrated, finally tells her, you know what? I'm done for the night, since you clearly can't concentrate. And that's when Joey confesses that she can't concentrate because she's terrified for Pacey, who's out on the water with Jen. So soon, everyone converges at the entrance of the yacht club, including now Jack, who's come to get Andy in the storm. And a man named Bruce arrives, and he informs them that the Coast Guard is bringing all of the boats in. Joey urgently asks if one of them is the True Love, but Bruce doesn't recognize the name of that boat. That's when Joey realizes there's a big problem. Pacey usually never registers the boat when he takes it out. He skirts all the paperwork. There's no record of him being out on the water, and the Coast Guard will not be looking for him. Out at sea, conditions become extremely dangerous. Jan and Pacey realize they can't make it to the docks without destroying the boat and getting hurt, so Pacey decides to head for a small cove instead. Jen panics, thinking no one will ever think to look for them there. But Pacey remains confident that someone will. Dawson. Dawson will know exactly where they are. Back at the yacht club, Joey and Dawson make the bold decision to steal Mr. Brooks's boat and go searching for Pacey and Jen. Joey reasons that Pacey will never try to dock in this weather. He's too smart for that. And Dawson remembers exactly what Pacey thought he would. He knows where Pacey will go. A cove that they went to years ago when they were little boys, also during a storm. That's where they had to take shelter. It's the same logic. That's where they'll find Pacey and Jen. So Joey and Dawson set off in their boat, and Jack and Andy take charge at the yacht club, organizing the cleanup efforts inside and ensuring no one else gets hurt by boarding up all the windows. Andy even takes the opportunity to assert herself over Mrs. Valentine, who is panicking and cannot get it together. Meanwhile, Mr. Brooks is livid to discover that Dawson and Joey took his boat out into the water in a horrible storm. Pacey and Jen face the terrifying possibility that they might not survive this. With their lives flashing before their eyes, they decide to share their biggest regrets. Pacey insists that he has none, and Jen says that her biggest regret is never being in love. Pacey is stunned because he assumed that she'd been in love with Henry, but Jen assures him that she wasn't. With that confession in mind, Pacey plays along and admits that his biggest regret is everything that happened with Dawson last year. He wishes that he got the chance to tell Dawson that. So just as all hope seems lost, Dawson and Joey find true love. They pull up next to the boat, and Jen jumps from Pacey's boat to Dawson's, but Pacey refuses to abandon his boat. Dawson begs Pacey to let it go. It's just a boat. His life matters more, and Joey loves him and needs him. It's a struggle for Pacey, but finally he relents, and he and Dawson leap over together, leaving the true love behind as it is swallowed by the storm. Back on land, everyone reunites, and Graham's, Mitch, and Gail are there too. Mr. Brooks is furious about his boat, the Artful Dodger, being damaged in the rescue effort. So meanwhile, Mrs. Valentine is now deeply impressed by Andy and how she handled this crisis. She says she will give Andy a glowing review. But Andy calls Mrs. Valentine out on her BS, and Jack calls her a bitch. They tell her to write whatever recommendation she sees fit. Honestly, her opinion doesn't matter much now. If the people at the college know Mrs. Valentine like Andy does, her words will mean nothing. Pacey and Joey meet up at the dock, and she tells him that Pacey is no longer making decisions just for himself. They're one now, and he has to start making decisions with her in mind. So they kiss and make up as Dawson watches from a distance, and Mitch assures Dawson, you know, Pacey may have gotten the girl, but Dawson saved the day. And that means something. That's something Dawson will always remember. Jen and Grams now share a moment, and Grams is so relieved beyond words, moved to tears, that Jen is safe. She doesn't know what would have happened if something happened to Jen. Jen has become her whole world. So later, Jen heads back inside to the yacht club to grab Grams' keys, only to come face to face with Drew. It turns out they share a past. This is just the first time they've seen each other since he arrived in Capeside. Drew smirks. So, this is where your parents shipped you off to. Jen replies, Drew Valentine is in Capeside. May God help us all. So the next day, Pacey shows up at Dawson's house to thank him for saving his life. He acknowledges that their friendship may be beyond repair, but he needs Dawson to know how deeply sorry he is for everything that happened last year.
So good.
Who wrote to Gentlemen of Capeside?
This episode was written by Jeffrey Stepakoff. As we know, he was one of the main players in getting season 3 back on the rails. His first credit was 304 Home Movies. So if you want to hear more about his career, you can go back and listen to that episode. And most recently, he got a credit on last season's finale for Story By, but his last full script was 317, A Cinderella Story.
Cinderella Story was the episode that ended with the kiss.
Yep.
Correct? When she takes her single red backpack for a weekend away.
At AJ's?
AJ Mueller.
The worst. What about director?
This episode was directed by Sandy Smolin. He was first with us for 214, To Be or Not to Be, a classic. So So if you want to hear more about him, you can go back and listen to that episode. But he was last with us on episode 402. So he is back-to-back directing the last episode and this episode.
What about guest cast shout-out?
Our guest cast shout-out for this episode is Harv Presnell playing Mr. Brooks. He has a huge career. His first TV credit was in 1956. And at the same time, he was like a prolific theater and Broadway actor and singer, which I didn't realize. He played the male lead in The Unsinkable Molly Brown on Broadway. And then he played the same role in the film adaptation, which won him a Golden Globe. He has been in movies like Fargo, Face Off, Saving Private Ryan, Mr. Deeds, Old School, Legally Blonde. He was in episodes of Lois and Clark, The Pretender, Frasier, Charmed, ER, and Two Guys, A Girl in a Pizza Place, which is a tie-in to this episode, which I thought was really funny.
That is funny.
Yeah. He is with us for 9 episodes this season. This is one of 9.
Now, his real-life credits come into play because we learn things about Mr. Brooks, and they kind of use it on the show. They'll use, like, his old images and stuff. Yeah, which is really cool. I wonder if they knew that kind of going in, like, we need someone with a really long background in Hollywood, or...
They found the right guy.
What about... Oh, Music Moment.
For me, it's Never Saw Blue Like That by Sean. It's just because of the soundtrack.
Duh.
Obviously. Like, yeah. Micah and I talk often on this, how I basically burned my soundtrack to nothing. Like, I just played that over and over and over again. I think this was on the second volume.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The second it came on in this episode, I was singing every word. And my partner was like, what?
They also play it, like, so much through this episode. It's on for, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Through a commercial break.
Like, yeah.
It didn't make any sense.
We love this song.
I love how they play it just for, there's the romance scene. They play it for Dawson and Pacey. I mean, it's very versatile.
Yeah,
it's Mitch, Dawson.
It's Mitch, right. It's Grams and Jen. It's like everything.
None of them have ever seen Blue Like That.
I don't think any of us have when you think about it. I mean, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only song in this episode.
Definitely the shining star.
What past versus past present. Versus present.
I remember this episode being so stressful. Like, I was so stressed out the first time I watched it, and I still am, but I'm so impressed by the quality of this episode. Like, there are shots where I'm like, okay, that's like aged CG, whatever, but it's so well done. They're really rocking and rolling somewhere, getting hit by water. I thought it was so great.
Totally.
The production value wise.
Yeah.
Or just, yeah, yeah.
I would love, because again, I didn't watch this in real time. I would love to find next week on Dawson's Creek and like whatever 40-second thing recap they told us was going to happen. Like, are they all going to drown? Is this the end? This is the end of the show. Like, what happened? There's a lot of dramatic deliveries of lines that I think still really land here.
There's some, I started laughing. We'll get there. But when Andy was like, Dawson, repeat Dawson will your know. Coordinates or whatever.
She's over.
Like, are you there? Over.
And he's like, and Mr. Brooks is like, they're off the coast of Michigan.
I'm really impressed with Joey and Andy's. They were using the official lingo. Over.
They were girl bossing. They were girl bossing into walkie talkies.
Oh,
all of a sudden, they were both ship hands. Like, they had a lot of ship knowledge.
Yeah, they weren't using shorthand is what I was trying to say when I had a stroke. They were really using the language. And I was very impressed with that. Mm. I must say, out of 16, 17-year-old girls, you go.
I think if there's one thing that we can expect from the cast of Dawson's Creek is they will always have the language.
Over.
The language always shows up when it needs to get there.
Solid point.
For my past versus present, there were two things. One, it was how sexually attracted I was to Bruce. When Bruce walked in, I know as like a 17-year-old boy, I was like, that's a gross man. Now I'm like, Bruce is fine.
Bruce can get it.
Bruce is wet.
He has that mustache. He has that stocky build. I'm into it. Second thing was when Jack called Mrs. Valentine a bitch to her face, I was like, I clutched my pearls.
They were pushing it on television, too. That was like the same week the FCC was like, you can say bitch on TV. And they were like, great, we're gonna.
He just really, I don't know. That was a lot. Could you imagine calling someone a bitch like to their face? I mean, on Twitter, sure, but to someone's face?
In the comments.
Also, Andy's reaction to it being like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, she would have never.
Bitch.
She would have never been okay with that. Are you kidding?
Those are my two biggest past versus presents.
Well, I think we should dive right in.
Let's dive into this sucker. Well, we open in the classroom. Now, did you guys ever study this play in school?
No.
Nope.
Me neither. But apparently it's about two friends losing their friendship over a woman.
Well, isn't that coincidental?
How convenient.
But I love how he keeps being like, it's Shakespeare's worst play. It's the Bard's worst comedy. This is shit. It's bad. But we're
well,
gonna do it
Capeside
anyway.
Has a history of really interesting English teachers in general, but English teachers specifically.
I mean, this was another moment where I was like, I think the teacher's cute. I don't know.
This is a bit of a stretch.
I don't know if we're there yet.
I mean, he's no Bruce, but...
Who is?
Oh, I meant to mention this in my past versus present. Drew playing with Joey's hair is wild.
Wild.
I know. I was very like, stay away from her.
Not into
Get a job. I didn't like it. And Dawson's giving like very brood.
His brow has never been more furrowed, to be honest.
He's not happy.
For sure. I always think it's funny in this episode when Drew calls for the two of them to have a debate.
Ridiculous. And,
like, it's just really funny to me.
And then the teacher is like, yeah, we're doing that, actually.
Let's have a debate. And you're going to do it with them. Amazing. Just classic hijinks in the classroom.
Drew's here to shake stuff up.
Where do you fall on Drew? Because we've debated this. Do you think he's cute? Do you think he's not cute? Do you like Drew?
I mean, Brendan Fraser. Who isn't? It's not Brendan Fraser. I never liked Drew. I was not a Drew girl. And you know why? Because he like terrorized Jen.
And you're a Jen girl.
And I was like, again, get a job. Yep. Stay away from her.
Stay away from her.
I was like, leave her alone. I don't like it. I understand why he needed to be there. And that arc happens, you know, in like 8 episodes time or whatever. But I had nothing in the tank for Drew.
I just love his blue eyes. And his little Nick Carter hair.
Yeah. And like a leather jacket with a turtleneck.
And then where do you fall on Dawson's hair length?
I think this is correct for him.
I agree.
I like it. I don't like him anymore than, you know, his hair cannot save him in my eyes. But it is nicer to look at in this season, for sure.
I do think in this episode specifically, it's shining. Like in the last scene with Pacey, it's falling well. There are times where it's like a little too flat.
But
he's gone through it all, but it's feeling good.
He's doing products.
Yes.
I would love to see a Dawson get ready hair with routine. Hair routine. I would answer a lot of questions.
That's true.
Me personally.
Yeah. Sometimes something about the greasy look on him just like, I don't know, works.
It like works.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, I don't want it to and I hate saying it, but you got to give him credit where it's due.
We then go to Graham's talking about her farmer's almanac, which do they still make those?
Yes,
they do.
They do.
And do you know, they started making them in 1818.
They will never stop making them.
They will never stop making them.
Do they still predict the weather?
Jen's outfit here is wonderful. They do. Yeah. And I think like when people are getting married, they look at farmer's almanacs to try to figure out like.
Oh.
Has anyone done a study on if they're accurate? Caroline, can you tell us everything about the farmer's almanac?
You know, I don't know, but I have a tendency to pretend I do. So, I think that they are like rooted in science in some way, like patterns over time or whatever. But also, I think like in the last 20 years, we have so much information available to us on the internet that I don't think it's as like, oh my gosh, like this book predicts the weather as it felt like in 1999. But I think there is some accuracy there.
Right. Okay.
Jen's outfit in this scene is incredible. I always really loved it. It was giving Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
100%.
And I had that tank top with that little V cut.
I'm sure it's back. I'm sure you could go buy it right now at the Gap, to be honest.
You totally can.
I was just going to say, it looks so contemporary.
It is, yeah. And her like little slip skirt and her platform shoes and her hair looks good. And Jen is wonderful. But Graham's is like, it's just, they're so heavy handed with a like, a weather event is coming. Like, we're planting all the seeds. Yeah, I won't need it. You might.
You never know, dear.
And Jen's an hour late for school because she's listening to like angry chick rock. Like, I'm assuming
Tori Amos. Yeah,
like
room.
Fiona Apple, Tori Amos.
Yeah.
And Graham's is like, look, you have 48 more hours of this. And then we need to get over Henry.
He's like, you cannot put a cap on my, what word did she use?
On my melancholy. Yeah, he does say that. I've seen this episode so many times. I did not have to look at the screen for that. I knew exactly what that line was.
And then we're back at Capeside High. Dawson and Joey are not happy that they have to do this project together. And Dawson's like, look, let's just cut to the chase. I just want to work with you. We don't need to talk about anything. Where are we meeting?
And Joey's like, I have to work. I'm at the country club.
Meet me at the club.
And then, of course, she mentions it's dead except for one old man that comes through every Tuesday. He orders the same thing.
And this is important later, okay? Don't ask me why I'm telling you. telling you this now.
Oh, I remember Joey switched backpacks and she doesn't have a red backpack anymore. And it made me so upset because that's like, I always think of like Pacey's Jeep, Joey's backpack. These are like,
what do you think happened to it?
She might have left it with AJ Moeller by accident.
Oh my God.
She could not go back for it now.
Nope.
I actually, that is like one, that's my least favorite episode. That's like, if it were on TV, I wouldn't even watch it.
Oh, the AJ episodes are very dark.
The AJ episodes, which are like 3 or 4, they're so small, but they have such, ugh.
No.
Especially the one where his best friend comes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it's that one, right? It's Cinderella. That's
the
one.
Not everyone had this really. The fact that there's multiple Dawson and Joey's happening all over the world is like, I don't want that. Don't do that.
You know your best friend that you're attracted to from growing up.
You know, everyone knows that.
AJ is the, I prefer like Ty to AJ. I mean, I know we're switching, but like, I would rather watch Ty episodes than AJ episodes.
I want you guys to do a full episode where you just rank like significant boyfriends. Others.
Yeah. Yeah. AJ's got to be down there.
AJ's the worst. Sure. Ty at least had like a seedy underbelly. He was like, I'll take you to the jazz club and drink martinis. I've got a dark side.
Yeah.
I hate gay people, but you know, we can still have fun.
I know you brought up Gretchen. I actually love Gretchen. Do you hate Gretchen?
Mm-hmm. I love her.
I love Gretchen. We love Gretchen.
I love her so much that I forgive them never mentioning that she exists for the first 4 years no. of the show.
She is a star. I love her.
Adore.
She was just on, I was on a plane for 1,000,000 hours and I threw on Friends and she was on.
Oh, you're going to say she was on your plane. I was like, sir.
I'm thinking about how I said I love Escape to Witch Island and I love this episode. The through line between the two of those, besides storms and loud noises, are their Jen and Pacey episodes.
You're right.
Now, where did you fall with, because I didn't really hate Pacey and Jen together. I think they had really good chemistry and I feel like just for a teen show, you kind of have to go there.
Yeah.
Did you like them together?
I loved the explanation of why it didn't work. I love the explanation that they were like, we are too similar, that we are not seeking in each other. We are missing. They are looking in other people for the things they are missing. They are too similar. They don't offer each other anything. And I think that Escape to Wish Island sort of covered that because they do the potion and try to fall in love or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, they had to address that. And I think they did it in a really fun, smart way. And I really like that what the walk away was like, I'm a bad girl and you're a bad boy. And like, who cares? Like, why would we be together? What are we getting out of this?
I love that they went there.
I love that they went there. And I think they had to. And I think it was smart to be like, we do have to explain why these two hot people who like both are really like sex positive aren't fucking each other. And I think that they did a great job at that.
Christina knows because I've talked about it. You might say, hell no. But I always wish they did like a Dawson Andy, just like it's just a chemistry totally. Test, just an episode, just a date. Like, why wouldn't the exes of two, you know, it just
they
feels...
did also make Andy so asexual. Like, give her like a little, like,
yeah.
They did not know what to do with Andy. For there was a whole chunk of time where she just had nothing going on. Nothing.
Either she was either getting good grades or having a mental breakdown. And there was nothing in between. And I was like, this is not fair to the Lexapro generation. We are not. This is not okay.
Seriously.
She was definitely a huge casualty of the showrunner shift, for sure.
1,000%.
I'm a huge Andy stan.
Me too. Love her.
Well, speaking of, we go to Andy's bedroom. I feel like we've touched on most everything in the hallways. Pacey got an A.
Pacey got an A and wants to go out on his boat to celebrate. He's like, no one else can go. Joey and Dawson have to do this project together. He's not super happy about it. Jen will go. What about the weather? Weather's going to be great. I already checked it. Weather's great. Weather's great. And don't ask any more questions. There is nothing happening on the horizon. The weather's amazing. Stop asking. Not a dot on the radar. And Andy's getting ready for another college interview. All she freaking does.
She's out there.
But it's like her safety school. She's like, it'll
be a good experience. I'm just going to go.
I'm sure you guys have talked about this and I'm sure I actually know the answer, but right now I don't. Jack and Andy aren't twins. What's the deal? Are they twins?
Okay. So when he first came on, he was an older brother, and I believe he was a year ahead. And then at some point, they just kind of made them the same year.
Did she skip a grade?
They never talk about it.
I don't know.
They never talk about it.
I think they're just like Irish twins who, when the show started, he was a year ahead. And then a couple episodes later, he was the same year.
But I don't know. Did they ever say a grade? I think they just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I think they kind of meh.
They threw them together. Yeah, that might be right.
No one can be sure.
Andy in this scene is looking simply 28 years old.
Well, she is 30 for sure.
Is she 30 here?
She's so much older than them.
Oh my God. No wonder she seems asexual. She's like, I don't want to like canoodle with any of these teenagers.
Yeah.
She's on Nardole.
She's on Nardole. Yeah.
Can we all be on Nardole? She is functioning at another level in this episode.
Oh, she's easy. She's breezy. Nothing's bothering her.
No, she's unbothered.
Unbothered.
Unlike her Xanax from season 2.
Yeah. Her hair looks really good. She's a very classic, timeless beauty. Like, she looks so beautiful.
And she still looks the same.
She does. Yeah. Gail and Mitch are sick.
She's nauseous. And then they keep passing the same illness back to each other. And Dawson's like, you need to keep your hands off of each other and keep your tongues out of each other's mouths.
But they can't.
God.
They can't.
They stay making out.
Speaking of, like, I've never met someone who's more sex negative than Dawson is.
About his parents. Yeah.
Repulsed.
I mean, that feels correct, but how these two extremely sexual people birthed this little nerderino, you'll never know. Talk about it. Don't kiss my mother in front of me.
Mitch is so hot.
And Gail is so hot.
They both are.
Gail's season 1 hair is like some sort of sexual awakening for me. I haven't put my finger on it yet, but it's so good. And then she cut it to be a little bit mom.
And then there's that scene in Hurricane where she's been sitting outside all night and it's like a little bit curly. Like, there's this moment of seeing Gail
like
undone.
Humidity.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, Gail has layers.
Gail has layers.
Also her hair, but you know what I mean.
Her hair had layers. She has layers. You're like, oh my God, Gail has layers. And Gail has layers.
And can I tell you, Christina got me a cameo from her for my birthday. And like, when I tell you,
amazing.
First of all, it was like 10 minutes long.
Literally.
She set up, I guess, her phone to record, but then she had like an iPad and she was like going through like pictures of me.
She asked me to send pictures. So I sent pictures of Micah, his partner, their dogs. And she's like, look at these little sweet. She's like zooming in on the dogs.
It was like the most thoughtful thing ever.
That's so sweet. Oh my God. She is meant to be a mother.
And I feel like I was drunk when I got it. I think maybe I got choked up because it was just so much. She put so much time into it.
How lovely. What a good friend.
So she's amazing. And our dream is to get her on because she's like our namesake, you know?
I'm part of the show now. We've got to get her on.
Yeah. We love a Gail moment.
This show is so good.
It's the best.
I'm getting wistful thinking
well,
about it.
What we talked about often is like teen shows didn't always write parent characters, and this show did. No. They were fully fleshed out. You cared about them. Micah cared about them more than some of the other people.
I like that Mitch and Gail had storylines and it affected the kids. Like, it really informed a lot of Dawson's decisions. The Walshes, Jim and Cindy didn't really have storylines on
them. They were so flat.
Yeah.
They were so flat. And also, I think in the 90s, everyone's parents were getting divorced, and it was like really big that like there were like affairs and like secrets, and your friend is sitting on the stairs during a hurricane and she hears Gail on the phone with Bob. And who didn't experience that?
So good.
Yeah. And it's like there's a big crux of the show is kids realizing that their parents are not these perfect people, that their parents make mistakes, because everyone has like parent issues on this show. And I just like how they did that. But Mitch and Gail were still so wholesome.
So wholesome.
But they were human and they made mistakes, and it just kind of, it trickled down to the characters that we really, really cared about, you know?
I never noticed this before, but now Jen and Pacey are on the boat and Jen did an outfit change.
It's she. What's she wearing?
She did.
She's not wearing that little black. She went home and changed.
She felt this was more appropriate.
Graham's, I guess, wasn't home to be like, a storm is coming.
Jennifer, you will not go on a boat.
Jennifer, there's a lot of, it comes up later, but there's a lot of Pacey being like so irresponsible. There were moments that I was like, I should have been less pro Pacey and more pro Dawson based on the level of weaponizing competence that Pacey shows in almost every scenario that he's in.
Totally.
I do love Pacey's buzzed hair though.
So good.
I mean, Joshua Jackson is, I will stop on every piece of content that he's in. I will look at everything. When he did the 360 cam at the award season, maybe last year or whatever, I literally like had to excuse myself from the room. I was like, oh my God, oh, this man. They're on the True Love. They're getting some nice wind. And Pacey's very confident about it. He said it's a gift from the gods, the winds that they're getting.
And again, like Joshua Jackson and Michelle Williams are on this boat. From a production value standpoint, that's incredible. Look at them.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Love it.
It's amazing.
But then you see the storm rolling in. It's like dark.
Yes, that's right. There's a shot. Storm is coming. Ooh. Fast and furious.
Pacey says he did check the weather, but it's going to miss them.
With the confidence only a man. Like, that's where it starts. It's like, oh, yeah, this big storm is coming. It will not hit us.
Not me.
Not me. I just don't want it to. So it's not going to. Thanks for asking. It's not going to hit us. How do you know? I know. Okay. And at the time I was like, Jen, stop ruining the day. He knows. Drew's like always taking they keep calling it a cell phone call.
Well, it's not a home phone. It's a cell phone.
Right. Exactly. Dates it so perfectly. They're like, stop taking cell phone calls during this meeting. I love the club scenes though.
Yeah. They're there doing their little project. Drew's like flirting with a woman on the phone the whole time. Joey takes the phone and she's like, hi, gorgeous. Drew will call you when his syphilis is cleared up. Classic Joey Potter. Love her.
Classic.
So.
Joey's a man hater. Oh. And I really liked that.
And then Drew's like, you guys are straight out of Star Wars. Pacey's Han Solo. Dawson, you're Luke Skywalker. Joey, you're Leia. And then Joey's like, with a sick burn, like, you must be Jabba the Hutt. Which really was a twist because I thought she was going to say Darth Vader.
That would have made more sense to me. What a Jabba the Hutt ever do to you.
And then in comes Mr. Brooks, like clockwork. It's Tuesday. He's here for his like steak and eggs or whatever he orders.
Prime rib. Yeah. Something like that.
Joey does like a nice little banter with him that he does not like.
If the opening act is over, I'll be sit down now.
Turn away, my sweet. I love that. And when she's like, no, your seat's all filled up. He's like, fuck off.
He's like, look, I've got to eat and get home. I am very concerned. Sir, just don't go. Just don't go to the club tonight if you're so concerned.
Yeah. Seriously.
And he's like, there's a storm coming. And Joey's like, wait, what?
A weather phenomenon where rain falls from the sky.
In that moment, I was like, I am Mr. Brooks. Like that, I'm relating the hardest to like, why have these kids never heard of rain before?
Joey's very concerned because she hears storm and she's like, my Pacey.
Well, she says to Drew, like, you're the one watching TV at the bar here while like Dawson and I are doing our work. So if any like big headline Chiron starts streaming across the screen, please let us know. And then he takes another cell phone call and misses a weather advisory for the coast of New England. Like, what is that going to do if you see the advisory anyway? They're already out there. You know, you don't have an iPhone. Like,
they don't have a radio and their boat's not registered. So what are we really going to do?
And then we get to a scene that makes me very uncomfortable.
We've got Andy. We've got Mrs. Valentine.
Miss Valentine is like, you're perfect, except for this little gap at the end of your sophomore year. What is this?
Well, it starts out with her being like, Andy, a nickname. How charming. She's so condescending from the start.
Yeah.
What a bitch.
I just love how when she's like dinner with anyone, living or dead, Andy says Eleanor Roosevelt. I don't know why. I really thought she's going to be like my brother.
Oh, my God. Imagine trauma.
Tim, please. And what does she say? She says most people say Jesus.
Yeah. Most people say Jesus.
That's really funny.
I really wanted her to elaborate on Eleanor Roosevelt. Just something I wanted more of.
Yeah.
I need to know more.
That is so Andy, though. Like she would say, if it were today, she'd say Michelle Obama.
100%.
She'd say Michelle Obama and like Hoda.
God, I love Hoda.
But basically, like, Mrs. Valentine is like, I see here you had a mental event.
She was like, the only red flag I see here is a leave of absence.
Yeah, is when you list all of your medication for your mental illnesses.
She's like, so it was a mental illness?
I heard you're a Nardole. How's that going? Yeah. And Andy's like, totally like, I sought help.
Andy is
a straight A student.
I'm telling you.
And I directed Barefoot in Cape Side or whatever.
I saw I had an issue. I sought help. I made up all of my work. I exceeded expectations.
She won at being mentally ill. And as a mentally ill person myself, I can say I've never done that. No. So good for
still
her.
Still working on it. That's what I'm saying. Get still me some Nardole. I am ready.
My day is coming. That's right.
I just love how Mrs. Valentine like really wants to dive into it. She's like, I'm going to put some tea on. Like, we're going to get into this.
Yeah.
Buckle in, sweetie.
She's like, I am going to just tear you apart limb to limb for being depressed. and anxious.
And Mrs. Valentine is dripping in pearls, head to toe.
Dripping. She's giving a little Jackie O here.
I'm like obsessed with the Valentines.
Yeah.
I think that's why I love season four, because they're so
prominent.
Catty and terrorize these people.
Mr. Brooks is trying to pay his check and Joey is distracted. She is trying to find the Weather Channel. She is really having a time.
Talking about Pacey with Dawson.
And honestly, I would love to see a bottle episode where Drew, Mr. Brooks, Dawson, and Joey stuck in a room together. I would watch that.
Yeah, get them in that Saturday detention episode.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Forget Abby Morgan, put Mr. Brooks at the wedding. Make him go up to the top of the thing and
him in the body bag.
Oh, what does Dawson say? Like after the great, like he's like basically like, I've written Pacey off because he committed the biggest betrayal of my life. And Joey's like, same. And Dawson's like, no, it's different with you.
You apologized. And that makes it fine.
You took accountability. Yeah. Pacey did not take accountability.
Also, I love you. Yeah. And I want to be
right,
with you.
As I'm still hoping that we can have sex one day. So we're still good. Okay.
We are going to lose our virginity to each other. Yeah. So
fingers are crossed. I forgive you if you just promise me one little thing. He's making like an Into the Woods trade. Yeah. Like he's ready to. He's like, I forgive you, but you must like give me your firstborn because it will be mine. Okay. Yes. Mr. Brooks is like, please give me the check. And Joey's like, I'm changing the channel on the television. And Drew is somehow sitting in between them doing nothing. I love that they keep just playing like a replay of a map with wind. Like it's like a weather. It's like, okay. And now all of a sudden on the boat, they are wearing rain jackets that fit.
They've got gear.
They've got gear.
Pacey has one of every size of raincoat.
Yeah, that's right. Just in case. And color. Exactly. You can choose what you want. I think this is where it starts becoming my favorite episode, where they are clearly in a pool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And being rained on by like multiple shower heads. But I really, in the quality in which the DVD is, they could have been in the middle of the Atlantic for all I knew.
Could never tell. They didn't know streaming was coming, to be fair. They were like, no one will ever know.
I mean, I feel like it could still fool me, honestly, if I don't know. I mean, I do have something to read about this. So in a Q&A, executive producer Paul Stupin replied to the question, what are the technical challenges you encountered while filming this episode? He said, this was by far our most challenging episode in the history of Dawson's Creek. In order to effectively shoot a storm with realistic waves and rocking boats, we had to shoot in a tank. However, as soon as we found out, there were no tanks in Wilmington, North Carolina, ready to create our own version of the perfect storm. After much scouting, the location's crew did find a huge concrete pool next to an abandoned cement factory that we could use. The cast and crew shot for 2 nights with 2 full-size boats while huge chutes poured water down into the pool. Guys on jet skis helped create waves in the water, which added to the feeling of a real storm. Ironically, during filming, a real storm actually shut down production due to lightning. The pool worked well for the close-up shots, but for the long shots, we needed something different. In post-production, we used computer graphics to really sell the fact that Dawson, Jen, Pacey, and Joey were out in the water. This way, we could meld the shot footage with the computer graphics and have an outcome that is different than anything the show's ever attempted. Although it was technically challenging, it was also a really exciting departure from anything we've done before.
This is a huge undertaking.
Yeah, and I'm glad we appreciate it so much, clearly.
Yeah, they did it for us.
It's really impressive. But I even thought this during the father-son fishing trip episode and then also in the regatta episode. Just the filming out on the water, I just find so impressive. Mm. No, just as someone who's like worked in production, and I just can't even imagine it. I can't imagine
the
it.
Regatta was very impressive with all the boats kind of, because they were all coming together, yeah, close together.
I mean, look, you put creek in the title.
You got to be on the water.
Give us the water.
That's right.
Oh, God. That pilot moment with I'll Stand By You and Joey's in the boat rowing away. That's our first watered moment.
That's another song I can't listen to without being like immediately just taken back.
And also Sophie B. Hawkins.
Oh, yeah.
As I Lay Me Down.
Yeah.
Going back quickly to Jen and Pacey, I love them in a crisis. Like this is kind of blanket, yes, for the rest of the episode, but I just love this dynamic.
1,000%. They have great chemistry.
They do. They really do.
And I like that they already put it. It's like we already told the audience, like they're not going to hook up.
Yes.
Let them just be friends who like get each other. And I actually like really appreciated examples of like really strong platonic hetero friendship here.
Yeah. And it's funny that Jen has that line at the beginning when Joey says she can't go on the boat and Jen says she'll go. She's like, I'm not going to make out with you.
It's very When Harry Met Sally.
And I might puke.
Yeah. But I will support you in your good grade. Your one good grade.
But to your point, it's like true. If they hadn't at least explored it or at least said it out loud in the little weird arc, we would be sitting here like, are they going to make out? There's just, it's always going to be rolling around.
And you can tell that they did such a good job at it because like there was never any, I mean, I'm sure there was a small community of like Pacey Jen shippers, but it never went anywhere. And like they shut it down so well, Witch Island. And then also when they're all learning to dance and they're like, see, they're good at dancing together, which means they have no sexual chemistry. And I was like, yeah, that makes so much sense. I just took that at face value and like carried that into life with me. If you are badly dancing, you have good sexual chemistry. And I was like looking for that in my life.
That's a rule.
Do you like Dawson with Jen or do you like Dawson with...
In season one, I liked them together. I think they should have kept, but past is past.
Did you like villain Jen season two, like her villain era?
When she kind of took on the Abbey?
Yeah. And she was like trying to seduce Dawson and break them up. And
I think because of how rich Jen's character is over the six seasons, it does, maybe in season two, you're watching it and you're like, what? Like, this makes no sense. But as you watch her grow, you're like, that's exactly what a bad girl in high school is like. They like chameleon whoever they're hanging out with at the time. She's so confident that she knows herself, but she doesn't know herself at all. And so, of course, this is going to happen. And you can kind of only look back on that at the end of the series and be like, you know, Jen's trajectory was like here, there and everywhere. But I have I love that part where she goes down to when they go down to the docks and they pick up men. I mean, I was like, these women are Vincent. 14, Vincent yeah. at the docks. And Abby's stealing eyeshadow. And I was like, the Jesus. Best. That, I mean, they wrote that bad girl character so perfectly. And Jen, you know, sort of siphoned off of it perfectly. It was perfectly written.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike White.
Yeah, thank you, Mike White.
The best. Now, what do we think of Mrs. Valentine's outfit in this scene? Because I'm kind of living for it.
Oh, in her Jackie O?
Yeah, in her little black and white. Like, this is the first time I'm getting like a full view of it.
I think she looks amazing.
Amazing.
Those earrings, the necklace, you know that little top and cardigan were sold together.
100%.
As a set, they were for sure from like New York and Company or like...
Might be stitched together, yeah, honestly.
They honestly might be one shirt. Surprise.
Yeah.
This is not a cardigan. This is just a capelet over a shirt. Mrs. Valentine is excellently cast, excellently written.
Yeah, I agree. Agreed.
Do you think the weatherman is wearing a wig?
Wait, I have to see. That's... Oh! Yeah. And his shirt's too big.
Yeah.
He looks like someone's cousin.
Or they were like, we need a weatherman. PA, put on this wig and this shirt and get on screen. Sure.
You're like, oh, shit. Yes.
I wish it was Bob. I know that would have been like a deep cut, but...
Yeah, did Bob lose his job? Was Bob run out of town? Bob.
He's probably the head of the network at this point, honestly.
My new fan fiction is coming soon. What about Bob is what it will be called. That weatherman's tie is too wide.
He's got a lot going on.
And then Mr. Brooks is pissed. Mr. Brooks is like also dressed really well, really classically. He's wearing like a J. Crew check shirt with like a nice little LL Bean windbreaker shell over it.
Yeah, and buttoned all the way up, which like isn't that's the style now, no?
Yeah, exactly. Full collar button. When Jack walks in drenched, I gasped a little and I was like,
so hot.
I've said it like tirelessly, but season four, he is so, I don't know what changed.
He's tanner and he's buffer.
He's so hot in season four, but also and not as hot in season five.
Season four, peak Jack.
It's something with the jawline and the hairline.
Uh-huh.
Both of them just sort of crested together in such a beautiful way. I love Mrs. Valentine coming on being like, Bruce, tell me what's going on.
I'm obsessed with Bruce.
Bruce is hot.
There's like a whole side story. Like, is he dating Mrs. Valentine? Because he comes in and he's like, Drew, where's your mother?
It's so familiar. Yeah, I think I would love that's the next fan fiction. Bruce and Mrs. Valentine. What's Bruce's role here? So like if Mrs. Valentine manages the country club cafe.
I think he's managing the country club
marina.
Dock.
Okay.
Marina.
This is where I lose a lot of respect for Pacey.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Because he didn't fill out the proper paperwork, right?
I think that triggers me. Like the fact that Joey, of all people, who's pretty type A and pretty by the book, says he doesn't have a slip. He just takes whatever. It's like, Joey.
That is such a good point.
If we're playing Chutes and Ladders and Pacey's almost at the top, he went down like three rungs for me there. As an adult, as a kid, I was like, yeah, who cares? Take whatever slip you want. But as an adult, I'm like, Jesus Christ, you think you're better than a slip?
Yeah. And Joey would be like, to her character, she should be like, I always told him he should have filled out the correct paperwork. Exactly. To, you know?
Exactly. Or Andy should have been saying that. Like,
yeah,
one of them should have been like, this I knew, like, there's an importance of having the correct paperwork. So when you're out in a storm, they know that this registered boat is out there and they know that they need to call you back in. It just was really skipped over. And I was like, Pacey, you're just like every other man.
And he's the son of the chief of police. He does not have, he doesn't care about anybody.
He's a little nepo baby. Yes. They turned a blind eye.
I feel like it's in character for him. He's always like skirting the, although irresponsible, totally. I do feel like it's in.
But it's not in character for everyone else to let that happen or to be like, Joey's like, don't ask me about the slip. He didn't have one. It's like, Joey, that's not how you would react to that. Don't even play me. And then my favorite part of the episode when the branch breaks through the window. Oh my God. That's when I'm like, get that blanket around me. I'm getting in. It's cozy. The real storms here. And they all fall to the ground.
They all take cover.
That's like the best part.
But look, you know who's not panicking? Andy. She
the Nardole is kicking in.
The Nardole has gone straight to the bloodstream. She's not nervous. She's not panicked.
In a crisis.
She's like, look, whatever.
Oh, we did forget one of her greatest lines in her interview before it went down off the rails. And she's like, my strength, it's my tenacity and probably my weakness, too. And you're like, yes, bitch, you give that interview.
She knows. She knows what she's doing.
Doesn't that come off of Mrs. Valentine being like, your mental illness is your weakness, I assume? Yeah.
She's like, your big breakdown.
And Mrs. Valentine is like, maybe you're suited for a state school. Yeah. Can you imagine Andy at a state school?
Yeah, she's like, less pressure.
Andy's like, ma'am, I'm going to Harvard, actually. Bye.
Yeah. Andy could have gone to UMass Amherst with me, but she did not choose to. There was less pressure at UMass. I'll give Mrs. Valentine that. She right. She right. We didn't have much going on there. Jen and Pacey on the boat. This part really stresses me out, I think.
There, it's rocking.
And this is another thing. It's so well shot.
It is.
All the decoration, like everything.
And how wet they are.
They're so wet.
They're so wet. Jen is really freaking out. And Pacey is really kind of mansplaining boats, storms, and water to her. And she is not having it. And that's what I appreciate. Because Joey would be like, okay, Pacey. Okay, Pace, you're right. You're right. You know best. And Jen's like, shut the fuck up.
The fear on Michelle Williams's face is...
She's terrified. And he says, you know, they're not going to go back into port because he does not want to potentially...
Crash the boat.
And that would ruin the True Love. And Michelle Williams, Jen is like, this is a horrible storm. Like, what do you mean? And Pacey's like, I've seen worse. And Jen is like,
when?
Where? And when? But then, you know, then comes the dramatics where Pacey's like, we will go to this island that I don't know the name of. That's probably somewhere. And Jen's like, no one will know we're there. And one of you needs to deliver the big line.
Dawson will know.
Dawson will know.
Oh, Bruce.
Oh, Bruce is soaking wet.
Bruce is back.
How old is Bruce here? Not the actor. How old is Bruce the character?
I would say 45.
I was going to say 45 too. I bet he's like 34.
Oh, yeah. His head is so square.
It's so square.
It's nuts.
I just know he's secretly dating Mrs. Valentine and they're doing some weird like yacht club naughty marina worker.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Bruce. Bruce is everything to me.
At this point, everyone is wet, actually. This is nuts.
Joey's so tan. This is when they gave Katie Holmes.
She's been in Key West all summer.
I know, but that tan never fades.
True.
Like, she comes back after season 3 tan and they're like, we're keeping it. And she is tan until the season finale. Like, she looks so good. And they were like, yeah, you're going to be going off camera. You're going to sugared and bronzed and you're getting a level 3. And we're going to exfoliate you and you're going to look amazing. Dawson's hair somehow looks even better. And what? They decide to take whatever boat is there, which is...
They realize they don't have a boat. And then Drew Valentine's like, which is why it's a good idea to be friends with the yacht club manager's son.
He's always there with a trick.
He gives them the key to the Artful Dodger, which is Mr. Brooks's boat.
One thing Dawson's Creek does so well is that when they need a storyline, they'll build you one and there will be no holes. And don't you dare try to question it. It's like, yeah, like Mr. Brooks, he appears out of nowhere, but we've been talking about him because we know he comes every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
He's a regular. regular. You just haven't seen him yet. Like, oh, he has a boat.
And he's not going to be taking it anywhere anytime soon because he doesn't want to sail in the storm. So we know it's there.
So Dawson all of a sudden knows how to sail, which is a prerequisite when you grow up on the Cape. And we know this from the regatta.
This is something that really bothers me.
Tell me.
He does know how to sail. And we know this from the regatta because he just decided to enter and race this boat. But like up until that point, I feel like it was lore that Dawson didn't know anything about boats. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I think that sounds right to me. And like, I honestly don't totally understand what's motivating Dawson to get on this boat and go find them. Is it being Joey's hero? Because it like that doesn't always come out clear.
I think that he knows that he's the only one that can get to the cove.
Oh, it's just like a narcissist.
That's a really good question that I never thought about.
I just like, what's your why, Dawson? You know, what's your why?
Is it because of his, is he really, does he secretly love Pacey?
It's fanfic I want to read.
Fanfic.
Micah, that's you. Get on it.
Like, does he just really want to save Pacey? Does he want to be Joey's hero?
Because like, to me, in this situation, it's like Andy's probably the one most likely to get on the boat. Andy knows how to sail. She learned it for college.
Her dad does have a boat.
And so Joey and Dawson get on the boat. Joey's like, where are we going? And Dawson, of course, so predictably is like, there's an island and no one knows the name and it's kind of over there. And we're going there because that's where he'll be and we'll find him. And then you see the trees rustling through the window. But then comes my favorite Andy moment where she starts yelling phone numbers at people.
She's like, you, 555-5555.
She's like, Mrs. Valentine, 555-0712. That's Jen Lindley's grandmother. Can you handle it? And then Mrs. Valentine's like, yes, 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 I can do it. Like, she is being like domed by Andy in a big way. And she's loving it. And I'm loving watching it.
I'm loving it. And Andy's like, Drew, sweep.
Yeah. She's like, pick up the broom because you don't look like you're doing much over there, Drew. And he like lists. They all start listening to Andy.
She is the poster girl for anti-anxieties in this moment.
Totally. She's like, I'm so blissed out. Come on, Lou.
I've never seen things clearer.
I never saw blue like that. And get the damn broom, Drew. There's glass on the floor. Jack looks so good. This episode is a real, they really play it out.
When I think of season four, I think of this episode just because of the Madonna promo that aired all summer, you know, and it was just like, but oh, well, I guess you didn't know.
No, tell me more.
So starting in like August, they would always run these big Dawson's promos and it was Madonna's Tell Me. And it was just scenes from this episode, almost specifically, a little bit from 401.
There was very little dialogue. It was mostly just action shots of the boat.
And it was just this boat and this storm. And it was basically Joey saying, like, you know, we might have lived on the ocean all summer, but like we haven't even come close to weathering the storm or whatever that line is from 401. And it was just this episode.
So this is what I've been dying to see. That's how they promoed this out?
Yeah.
Wait, that is so cool. That is amazing.
So this is the episode I think about when I think about season four, because it was just the marketing campaign for at least 2 months, I would say.
I wonder if I searched Dawson's Creek Madonna Tell Me.
I posted on our Instagram a few weeks ago.
Oh my God, you're not even making me do any work. Okay, amazing.
It'll be one of the top posts.
See, this is kind of what I miss. Like, I kind of wish I had like VHS tapes with like commercials and stuff. Culturally lost there, I think, without.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially like in the scene where they play Never Saw Blue like that. And then they clearly cut to commercial and then they bring it back. And it's like a little jarring watching it on the stream. Because you're like, but it probably made so much sense with that commercial.
There was nothing like the WB marketing department, 97, like 2002. I don't know what those people needed raises. They were just.
It's like them, American Eagle, like making a blood oath. And they were like, listen, we go up together, we go down together. That red shirt with like a navy blue big wide stripe that the guys were always wearing is like so to be in a museum.
There's also a sweater in season 2, 3 that Jack is wearing. It's like a ribbed turtleneck. That ribbed turtleneck sweater. Micah was like, I had that.
Yes.
I had that. And everyone had that sweater.
Pacey and Jen are talking regrets, and he regrets being on such bad terms with Dawson, and she regrets never being in love.
Classic, like, okay, all right. Like, okay. It's like, if we die, and he's like, we're not going to die. And Jen's like, well, if we do, I'm going to tell you that I have never been in love.
And Pacey's like, I don't have regrets.
Right, exactly. That's a YOLO sort of thing. Does he say, what about Henry? And she says, that wasn't love.
Yeah.
And it's like, it, again, the use of the dialogue. It's like, oh, now we are putting a cap on your melancholy. Like, what do you mean that wasn't love? You were so depressed 20 minutes ago.
Maybe she needed this moment.
She was faced with death and she was like, that wasn't it.
Henry sucks.
Just being pummeled by someone with a bucket of water being like, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. Okay, Pacey's like, I don't have regrets. It's not the way I operate. And Jen is so exasperated that it's almost like a distraction tactic where I'm like, you're making her so mad she forgets she's in a life-threatening situation because you're being so annoying.
She's like, please stop. Please stop.
Pacey's like literally like, God bless the broken road. You know, like it doesn't matter. And Jen's like, I will kill you if this storm doesn't. Jen's like, I wish I had a gun and I would kill you with it.
I wonder if they were really motion sick in this scene. Like, obviously the whole set is shaking because Jen looks a little bit unwell. She's
a little green.
Yeah. She's selling that she's struggling in this moment.
Christina, we're up to your favorite scene. There's coordinates being read over a walkie-talkie.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, this is the spinoff I would watch. Andy and Mr. Brooks.
Just Andy reading longitude and latitude.
Andy and Mr. Brooks.
Mr. Brooks out on the map. Andy on the radio. Yeah.
Just working for the Coast Guard freelance.
Where are you? Over.
Dawson, Joey, are you there? Over.
What's your location? I need your location again.
And then they're like, Andy, are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
They're not.
They're not.
There's another good line delivery coming up from Joey. She's like, I think that's their boat or something like that. I forgot what she said.
Yeah, she's like, it's them. I think that's them. Joey never had the acting chops. I'll say it. And I'm sorry, Katie Holmes. But you couldn't hang sometimes with these guys.
There were times.
She's just the too tall girl from the wrong side of the creek.
That's right. She always also, like, I always wondered, where did she grow up? What mall did they find her in? And I know they found her in the mall.
Yeah.
Ohio. It was the Midwest. Some of her words she says, and I'm like, where was a voice coach for you? I felt this way about watching Dax Shepard on Parenthood, the only child, Berkeley, California family
with a Michigan accent.
He's like, yeah, it was crazy. Joey says, like, if you're saying like distinctly, she's like, distinctly, you will never unhear it now. Like, she,
her little Midwest comes out sometimes.
Her little Midwest comes out. And I'm like, that would have been an easy fix had they had. I'm going to go full Justin Baldoni and be like, we offered an intimacy coach. She did not take it. I really feel like there was some, they were missing that, because when she says, like, we have to decide, like, you have to decide. That's not how you say that word.
I feel like you're shattering the glass for me and now I'm never going to be able to go back.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that for you. This is growing up, you know, that's what this is.
So Dawson has tracked Pacey down at the secret location that only the two of them know about from their childhood memories.
Right. It's called some island, maybe over there.
They pull up right alongside Jen. Jen immediately jumps. Jen is like, get me off. Jen's like,
see ya. I think I can make it.
Yeah. She's like, don't touch me. Bye.
And Pacey's like, I'm going down with this shit.
And they start sparring and Dawson's like, you're an idiot. And Pacey's like, I'm not leaving my boat. And like, you're an idiot. I'm not leaving my boat. And then the most, Joey goes, Pacey, slow-mo's out a little bit. That's her wall moment. He's asking him to jump.
And he won't.
He still won't. So
now look, I don't know a lot about boats. I would venture to say I know nothing about boats, but couldn't you maybe like tow the boat behind you? Is that a dumb thing to say?
I think that you can't control them crashing but again, I just made that up. I don't know about boats, but I think like just from inertia, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Is the idea that Mr. Brooks's boat is like has a motor and Pacey's boat is a sailboat?
I think Pacey's boat is just a sailboat and Brooks has like a little bit of a little speed yacht.
The Artful Dodger.
Artful Dodger's got some juice.
So then that's why Dawson jumps over and forces Pacey to jump. Well, I guess Pacey decides a little bit.
He does, but that feels like the love story there. I mean, I feel like Joey is sort of like the third party to the like Dawson and Pacey like coming together and having this moment.
Which is what they're debating in the opening scene, right? Dawson saying it's a story between friendship and Joey saying it's about the three of them.
Spot on, yeah. It's like the Bard's worst play, but here we are and it's my favorite episode. And they show up on this boat looking like an L.L. Bean catalog.
They're
all in primary colors.
Everyone's got the perfect raincoat.
Everyone looks amazing.
Rain has stopped. completely.
Yeah, storm's over.
They could have just waited 20 minutes and then Pacey could have sailed right back.
If I were Jen, I'd be like, oh, Pacey, remember when you were like, yeah, we're getting a storm, but it's not going to hit us. Like, I would never let him live that down.
Ever.
Not in a bazillion years.
You know what's wild? Another past versus present for me is like the gaslighting of Mr. Brooks, that they think he's insane. For like,
they're like, how dare you want your boat to be fixed?
Stealing his vehicle. Yeah.
They're like, how dare you ask for money? How dare you be upset? How dare you want to press charges? I mean, they stole his boat.
But again, you know, this moment serves to show the growth of Grams. Season one, Grams would totally. Have never.
Very by the book.
She would have been like, Dawson's a little, you know, some weird slur. And then she would have like just said something racist completely just for fun and then walked away. And then in here, she's like, she gets it. She can chill. I mean, I don't know. One of my favorite episodes always is Guess Who's Coming to Thanksgiving. But that also, because Jen's mom comes home, like you really see like Grams and Jen are like ride or die at that point.
There's such a turn in them there where Grams is like takes Jen literally under her wing. She's like, I got you.
Yeah, I got you. And like, we like never shall we part. And I feel like, again, so much of the show is like watching the whole thing and then seeing those moments and being like, yeah, they really stuck to that. Like at that moment was pivotal. And then you have Grams here. Like, I feel like a lazier writer would have been like, you do have to work off this error that you made. Like, we live in a society. Like, you took a boat that didn't belong to you. But Grams is like sitting in the jail cell with Jen. She is ride or die.
She's going toe-to-toe with Mr. Brooks.
But also, do you think there's a little sex tench? Or is that just me? Between Mr. Brooks
and Mr. Brooks. Good for that.
Well, I mean, they're the only two people of that age in that town.
So yeah, that's true. I'm like doing the whole thing we said about Jen and Pacey. I'm like, yeah, they're probably going to bone.
I do feel some sex tench.
Like, she's putting him in his place and he's like, nobody does that.
Yeah, and he's like, that broad. Turn away, my sweet. Kiss, kiss, bang, bang. And then Mrs. Valentine's like, Andy, I'm very impressed with the way you handled yourself during the big storm. And then Jack delivers.
You're a bitch.
She said, yeah, she says, I'm sure the university will be really interested in my impressions of you. Andy's like, I don't care what your impressions of me. And Jack starts like bucking at her. Essentially. Jack's like, I'm sure the university would be really interested to hear what a bitch they have as a representative. And she's like, you wouldn't. And then Andy goes, I wouldn't. You're right. I wouldn't. And I was like, but you should. And I'd like to see it.
Andy's unbothered.
She is unbothered. And this is like, I guess, an indicator of her growth. Because to me, I was like, this feels not very Andy to me. No, this she's a response.
People pleaser. Where did we, like 20, right. One big storm. And now you're like, fuck authority. Yeah. I don't care. I think an important thing to note to a viewer is Mrs. Valentine was a representative, not for a first choice school. Like, this was a school, this was like a safety Ivy or a safety tier one. It wasn't a Harvard.
It was not her first choice. She was basically doing the interview as like a practice
run interview. Yeah.
And Mrs. Valentine is like an alumni, like it was like an alumni interview, a local alumni interview.
What's so crazy is at this moment, which seems like it's the end of the episode, the storm, you know, they're back and blah, blah, blah. You're like, we have 10 minutes left of this episode.
I know.
And that is when they put on Never Saw Blue Like That.
It does feel like the end should be here, but we keep going.
But they do like a lot of interpersonal wrap-ups in those 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Honestly, a ton.
Joey is like, Pacey, you're in a relationship now. You have to stop living like you're some single selfish.
Yeah. Joey's like, please start thinking for two. I loved that line. And I think I like took that line and used it like with my college boyfriend.
Nice.
Right? I agree.
I should use it now with you my could. Adult I think relationship.
You, there are things that they say on Dawson's Creek that I think you could like just slide into everyday life. And I don't think anyone would really know.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But it's nuts to me that he's like, everything I ever cared about died on that boat. Like, he's basically like, I only care about that boat.
And Joey's like, what about me? And Pacey's like, oh, you. And I'm like, damn, we are dealing with 17-year-olds here. That frontal lobe's not coming in for like a solid decade. So I do forgive them for that. Joey has never looked prettier. I would not look this good after being pummeled by a New England weather event.
All of them.
I know.
Jen, too. Obviously, we're not in that scene yet. But I'm like, were these kids just on the ocean for like 6 hours?
Can I ask you guys a question just like for context? Because again, I wasn't watching it in real time. I know they were all dating each other off camera. During season four, were there any off-camera relationships happening?
I don't think so. I don't think
so.
I think that was all pretty much done by like end of season two.
Okay. They all like kind of fucked each other and got over it.
Yeah. But what was interesting was there were always like rumors about James and Josh not getting along.
Oh,
because of a real life love triangle.
Gina kind of confirmed it in the interview. Like she was like, we were trying to, not that they were feuding, but they tried to keep them apart.
And this season, they're very much written on opposite sides. And that was somewhat intentional.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love when art it's imitates wild. Life imitates art. That's great. Okay. Great. Amazing. Love to hear I that. Thank love you.
It. But when you think about it too, and Brittany Daniels kind of gave us context for this too, like she came to Wilmington to shoot the show and she was like, I didn't know anyone in Wilmington. Like the cast and crew were like the only people I hung out with. We all kind of lived close to each other. It was a small town. Yeah. So I feel like that contributes to it too. And like you're 21, 22.
And also in season one, no one knows who you are.
Yeah.
So you can kind of like do things and like no one's paying attention to you. You're not like on TRL. So like they were probably like hooking up without a band, like, you know, just like no care in the world. And then season two, all of a sudden they're like experiencing fame and probably couldn't go out in public much. And yeah,
it's wild.
So interesting. Yeah. I would love to get my hands on some like Us Weeklies or People magazines from like 1998, see what they were talking about. And maybe I'll find some on eBay because now I want to read like now I want to read like 30-year-old gossip about Katie Holmes.
Oh, the best.
Yeah. I love Gail's coat. I don't know if it's Tommy Hilfiger, but in my mind it is. And yeah, it is exactly like you're saying. It's like navy blue with red and yellow. Yep. It's all of it combined.
Feels like a job for me to figure it out. Yeah, Gail looks good. They all look very timeless. They did such a great job with costumes on Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, and it's all back. Yeah. I mean, I think that's to it too. Part of the timelessness is like the baggy clothes are back, you know, like loose pants. Right.
Mitch is wearing like a London Fog coat.
Mitch is so hot. I know we've already said it, but
like, because he wears a lot of those, like, I don't know what they're called. They're short sleeved. They're like fancy t-shirts, but they're like designed. They're not t-shirts. They're not silk. I don't know what they are, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're like casual dress shirts.
But that's like all Zara has now, you yes. know? And like, I wouldn't have worn it. It's just all very timeless fashion, I feel.
I love this little pep talk that Mitch is trying to give Dawson. He's like, yeah. And when they pulled him off the boat, they were like, we're so mad at you and we're so proud of you. They're just good parents. I love Mitch and Gail.
The best parents ever.
They are.
And they know he's going through it. But he's got to figure it out himself, Dawson.
I like when they touch on too, like Pacey's kind of like their second son kind of a thing. Like I love Mitch and Pacey scenes.
But there's like a loyalty. There's like a respect for the Pacey relationship, but there's a loyalty to your son. And you always know they're going to pick Dawson, but without being like annoying about it.
Yeah. And like, I think they know that this will blow over. Oh, Mitch, you handsome bastard.
Ice cream loving piece of shit.
And again, here we are with Jen and Grams at the car, and Grams is devastated. Like she's having the come downs of having that news about Jen being trapped on the ship, and she's like getting emotional. Jen looks amazing. Jen looks like she just got up and like went out for the day. She does not look like she's been through this trauma.
Yep.
Sometimes death just makes you feel alive. You know, like that close call just made her, to quote Joey from season 3, it made me feel alive.
And then she goes back into the club to get keys or something.
Yeah.
And who comes around the corner but
the one and only Brendan Fraser.
Drew Valentine. They know each other from New York City.
This was a shocker to me the first time around. It was so well done.
Yeah, because you're like,
oh, I totally forgot they had never laid eyes on each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Why hadn't they seen each other in high school?
We don't
That's
know.
Such a good question, and we cannot answer it. That came up for me too. I was like, but he is in class though.
But Cape Side High is very big.
Oh, and Drew only showed huge. Drew only shows up in season 4, episode 1, and this is only episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's a great reveal, because you know what I bet? I bet this episode was so, like the promo, I bet this was so hyped. And they were like, this was like the thing they showed all summer and now it's over and they had to give you something. Like,
yep.
Because everything wraps up too nicely. But it is a little weird that the reason Jen goes on the boat with Pacey is that Joey and Dawson get roped into doing this project that you're like New York City nemesis. And like that just never comes up in that whole scheduling conversation.
Yeah. Huh. And I will say, this is episode 403. Episode 402, it is the first day of school. Like, they make a really big deal out of it. So we could buy maybe you know, it's day 5 or 6 of school, and they just keep missing each other.
That makes sense.
Also, Jen's been missing some school because she's been depressed and listening to Chick Rock and all of that.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Again, Dawson's Creek covers every...
No holes.
No plot holes.
They can tell me anything and I'm like, yes.
I really do love the end of this episode, though. Since season 3, we have not really had Dawson and Pacey in the same space, right? Having like an actual conversation about where they stand.
Yeah, I believe the last time they had a scene together was at Mitch and Gail's wedding, where they said things were never going to be the same.
Yeah, and then Dawson cries on the phone.
This scene felt so... I don't know if I'm feeling like the off-screen awkwardness or what, but there was something so genuine about this conversation between the two of them. And like Pacey felt so earnest. And I don't know, just all of it. It's awesome. And Dawson looks good again. I don't know.
They both look so good. Hot.
Dawson only gets hotter from here on out.
Yeah.
And Pacey obviously was always hot. But Dawson, like, puberty like came, went, and now he is like an adult. Man. And it's like,
yeah.
It's just giving like a little Edward versus Jacob kind of like, what team am I on? I don't know. They're both so hot.
This truly is a tale as old as time. Like, two gentlemen of Capeside, two gentlemen of Verona. I mean, like, there are no truly original stories. Like, everything is like...
Everything's been done.
Yeah, but it's great.
It is great.
And no one better to do it than Dawson's Creek.
This is finally the scene where Pacey, you know, Dawson has said, the reason that I have a problem with Pacey and not you, Joey, is because he hasn't taken accountability. He hasn't apologized.
Yeah, that's
he hasn't
right.
apologized. And this is the scene where Pacey, you know, after his close call with death, he's now come to be like, I'm sorry, I miss you. I miss our friendship.
Turns out he does have some regrets.
Yeah. And Dawson isn't super warm, but he's like, now that I have my apology, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? We might just be friends again someday.
And you do have these little moments, like, you know, throughout this season, where you can't deny the depth and detail of their friendship. They honor their friendship as a thing more than they like honor each other in a lot of ways.
Totally.
Too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're like, for the friendship, but I do hate you.
I actually can't stand you, but we do have a history. And I respect history.
They like honor their history. They hate each other. And like, that's like a huge thing that they have in common. That's a really fun through line to watch for the next like 3 years, literally.
This director killed it.
Andy Smolin.
He's the best.
Till then. I love that his response, Dawson. Till then.
Right. Because Pacey's like, I hope one day we're friends. And Dawson's like, okay, see you there.
Maybe. We'll see how
Don't
it goes.
Don't give a shit. Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Wow. This really brought back a lot of memories watching this. Like, even though I've watched it so many times that I don't know what the memory is of, it like does remind me of my senior year of high school and like jumping into the show and getting very invested.
This was so fun.
It was really, really fun. Thank you so much for having me on.
You have to come back
anytime.
Do you have anything to plug before we let you go?
If you love shopping and you like want to make your shopping process easier, like maybe you want to ask a bunch of people if they own something and if they recommend it, and you're sick of going through Amazon reviews and Wirecutter comments that don't mean anything to you, you should join the G Thanks Just Bought It community. It is on Facebook under G Thanks Just Bought It with Caroline Moss. That's the group. You can follow me on Instagram, G Thanks Just Bought It Pod. And if you kind of want to do all of these things and don't know where to start, go to gthanks.substack.com. Everything is there. It's making shopping a little bit more fun, a little bit easier, so you can get the thing that you need and you can get on with your life. And I'd love to see you all there, especially if you love Dawson's Creek, because I need more of my people in the shopping group. We need a bigger Venn diagram and a bigger crossover.
Absolutely. And I can say firsthand, I have the Garden Witch overalls. I have the matte for Scraper. I was their episode 1.
Oh, you've been here since the beginning.
There are so many episodes of the podcast that you can listen to if you're just like me, listening to something all day, every day. I need new podcasts all the time. It's available.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so next week's episode 404, which is called
Future Tense.
What will we be drinking?
We will be drinking the 16 candles. You will need vodka, simple syrup, blood orange juice, tarragon, and rosé champagne.
That sounds amazing.
Doesn't it? I know. I'm excited.
It's right down my alley. Anyway, those are a few of my favorite things.
It's beautiful.
Miss Windjammer, see you there. Well, that's all she wrote.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.